name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, as we conclude our celebration of the Feast of Theophany, we hear St. Paul's, from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And he says to us, "Therefore it is said of Christ," he's speaking, "when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." In saying he ascended, Paul asks, what then does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is he who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So what is it that St. Paul is getting at here about this descending and ascending and descending and descending? What St. Paul is getting at is what he concludes here, that he, that Christ, might fill all things. This is a teaching that is, of course, very important to us Orthodox Christians, and we should be familiar with the fact that we begin every service, essentially every service, every divine liturgy, by addressing God, especially the Holy Spirit. We say that he is everywhere present and fills all things, filling all things. We have in one of the hymns that we sing on at Vespers, I believe it's in the fifth tone, it comes from the Psalms, it's paraphrasing one of the Psalms. "Where shall we flee from thee, O God? To heaven, for thou dwellest there. Or to the depths, for there thou hast trampled over death. Or to the depths of the sea, for even there is thy hand, O Master." Again, it's an important teaching for us as Christians that God is everywhere. In fact, we even say, so many people ask us, how could a loving God send someone to hell? How could God cause someone to suffer? Our Orthodox understanding, brothers and sisters, of heaven and hell is simply that we are in God's presence. It's how we experience his presence. It's not as though hell is somehow the absence of God. There is no absence of God. He's everywhere present and filling all things. It's about how we experience him. Think about it as we think about the sun. We wish it was a little closer to us today. Just a little bit. Because if it's just close enough, it provides us with warmth and light and life. But if you get just a little bit too close to the sun, or a little bit too far away, there is no life anymore. It's all about your experience, about your perspective, about how you receive the sun. And so it is with God. He is everywhere present and filling all things, as we hear in our liturgy, and as we hear, of course, this comes from the teaching of Scripture, most especially as we just heard from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. But this has significant implications for us, how we should think and how we should live our lives. And there are two things that I want to highlight this morning about how this notion that God is everywhere, that he fills all things, about how we should live. One of those has to do with this very important concept within Christianity. It has to do with the way that we think about geography, and specifically the way that we think about geography and worship. Because in ancient times, it was considered that you had to worship at a holy place, a very specific place. And of course, because of this, there have been all sorts of wars. There have been all sorts of killing and death of people who, by the way, as we remember, were made in the image of God. Fighting because you say, we have to worship here. We have to protect this place. It's where we worship our God. The scriptural teaching is different. The scriptural teaching, understood authentically, of course, because people misuse it, but the scriptural teaching is you worship God wherever you may find yourself. Take, for example, the story of Job. Job was not born in the so-called Holy Land of Jerusalem. He never visited Jerusalem, and he died outside of Jerusalem, and yet he was considered to be a holy man and a righteous man. Why? Because he lived his life in a godly way where he found himself where God put him. And so it should be with us. Brothers and sisters, we need to make wherever we are a holy place. You want to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. You want to make a pilgrimage to monasteries. You want to make a pilgrimage to other places where people have done things good for you. That could be a wonderful thing if it's inspiring to you. But only if it inspires you to live a holy life when you come back to your place. Only if it changes the way that you live here in Wichita, Kansas, or wherever your home may be. And that is why, brothers and sisters, I said it in a statement, you know, months ago when this latest Israel-Palestine-Gaza situation blew up again. It's why it is so wrong for us as Christians to support Israel on the basis of this idea that somehow they have to worship there. They have to have Jerusalem. It's nonsense from the biblical perspective. You know, where were the most Jews at the time of Christ and in the history of the Bible? Where were they? They were in Egypt. Read the Bible. God delivered them out of Egypt into Jerusalem. But guess what? They ended up back in Egypt and they worshiped God there. And there was no problem. They could still live a righteous life wherever God placed them. The second thing that we need to understand about Christ filling all things is it means that we should see Christ in others. Most especially, of course, we should see Christ in our enemies. It's easy for us to see Christ in our neighbor that we love. It's easy for us to see Christ in our friends. But we also have to understand that Christ is also, even if just the slightest bit present sometimes, in our enemies. There is always that spark, so to speak, of the divine, knowing that each and every one of us human beings has been created in God's image. And we also should recognize not only just Christ in our enemies, but Christ in people who might have different gifts than we have. And that's what Paul is saying here at the end of this reading today, when he talks about Christ's gifts. Right after he mentions that Christ fills all things, that his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. He's given different gifts and different ministries and different callings to each and every one of us. To build up, as St. Paul says, the body, his body here on earth. And so, brothers and sisters, we can no longer look at people and say, well, they don't have the gifts that I like. You know, we tend to value our gifts and the things that we're good at. And we like other people to have those things. But we need to learn to value that other people have gifts that are different from ours. And that Christ is working through them just as he is working through us. So today, brothers and sisters, as we leave this Feast of Theophany, let us remember what I talked about last week, that Christ, he came and he sanctified not just the waters, but he sanctified all creation. And as St. Paul tells us in his epistle to the Ephesians today, he fills all things. Let us open our eyes that we may see him wherever we find ourselves and with whomever we find ourselves, that we may give glory to him forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.